that's passed, and yet all of this chapter has not been fulfilled as yet. But there is a specific generation that's going to see the fulfillment of all that is in this chapter. And so many people think that A.D. 70 fulfilled all of it, but it didn't. There's so much in it that has not been fulfilled. And I'm going to start the teaching on this 37th verse in this 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. And Jesus is doing the talking.
But as the days of Noah were.
Now, you hear what he's saying. He is likening the days of Noah to the coming of the Son of Man. Are you following me now? Now, Noah was operating in the second covenant. And the first covenant, Adam, violated it, and sin entered into the world. But it'd be impossible to cover all that I would like to cram in to these. I guess we'll have to take a couple of weeks or a couple of nights, if not more. Because if you go back to the fifth chapter, well, I better read the rest of that verse.
But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Now, he's likening the coming of the Son of Man, and actually what he's talking about there is the parousia, the appearing, and he is appearing in this hour. And this hour, if you ever know anything about what's going on in the world today, it's exactly like it was in the days of Noah. You only hear the negative part. You don't hear the positive attitude and the obedience of the Spirit in Noah's day. But God, well, the 38th verse tells you that in that day they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage. But I wish you had noticed one little word in that verse. Read it.
For as in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day.
That little word, until, you should underline. You and I are living in that day. We are just about to go in. Now, I know this is contradictory to a lot of kingdom preaching, but it's still the word now. We are about to enter in into the Christ. Now the ark was a type of Christ, you know that. And the ark had three stories. Well, Jesus was the manifestation of God, and he was the very image of God. In detail, attributes of everything. But there was something else happening before Noah got the ark in. And you have to go back and read in the fifth chapter. Now that's talking about Enoch. And you know Enoch was translated. I'm talking about the fifth chapter of Genesis now. Now, but Enoch had a son by the name of Methuselah. Now, you know him as the oldest man ever lived. Come on, how many of you understand? Huh? He was the oldest man to ever live. Do you understand why? Why he couldn't die? Pardon? His name simply means when he is gone, the deluge will come. In other words, Methuselah could not die as long as Noah was building that ark. But when he got it finished, this is all the way through your Bible. You may not have thought it, but the Bible declares that when the fullness of Christ is come. Now, King James don't use that word fullness. The Amplified does. And you and I are really lost when it comes to talking about Christ. You don't know. I don't know. Thank God for what little bit we do know. How many of you understand what I'm saying tonight? And I'm not belittling the Christ. Matthew 11 and 27 tells you plainly, no man knoweth the Christ. Only he whom the Father reveals him to. Now, you have to really understand, and mind, God, you have all these prophecy preachers, and they're filling the whole world up with a bunch of lies. They're telling you, they preach and teach traditionally that you will not have the Feast of Tabernacle until after the millennium. And when you come into the fullness of that feast, you are in the millennium. But I don't want to. I can show you in this lesson tonight that when Noah come out of the ark, it was the 10th month. And the 10th month is the month of the Feast of Tabernacles. The whole month is set apart. Oh, I don't know. I wish I did know something about the Bible. But I lean heavily on the Spirit. Let the Spirit bring up what I have read and what I have studied. Now, but when Methuselah died, Noah had the ark built. Now, if we're going to be a deliverer, number one, what's the first thing God tells deliverers? Build an ark. Do something that is impossible. Never had been a boat built that big. And he set the standard for every boat that's ever been built. Since then. Well, and then he begins to tell you that it was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, high, and 30 cubits wide. I think that's what it says. Yeah. 50 wide and 30 high. Okay. And those numbers in itself are very important. It said 300 cubits. Now, you can get into some really deep stuff here. A cubit is 18 inches, a foot and a half. Now, if it's a foot and a half, how long would that arc be? Huh? Can you imagine? And not only that, but it would be 75 foot high. Not only that, how wide would it be? 30 cubits. Well, 75 high. Yeah. Well, it had to be. You don't know how big Christ is. We sure don't know much about Him. We read His life in the Word of God, in the four Gospels. But what you don't understand is that the Lord trained him 30 years before he ever preached a sermon. Now, there's a story behind that. Why 30? Now, I want you to be taught how to answer these questions. The reason he was to be taught 30 years, the Old Testament put a limit on how old a priest had to be before he become a priest. He could not become a priest until he was 30. Ezekiel, on the day he was to graduate to become a priest, God changed his ministry. He said, I'm going to make you a prophet. I had to study him 30 years to be a priest. So, now, God commissioned Noah to build the ark. How many of you understand that you have got a commission from God to build up the Christ? But the majority of preachers trying to build up themselves instead of building up the Christ. But if we're going to be a deliverer for God and for His purpose, we're going to have to come back down to this man Noah, for God Himself, Jesus Himself, the image of God, the representative of all the heaven, made a declaration, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, when we began to realize that God is bringing about a people today and raising up a people today that God's going to commission to do the impossible. Now, to be able to do that, you hear a lot of prophecy preachers preaching about one new government. a world government. And the Antichrist is going to be the ruler. That's nonsense. We'll never have a world ruler until Christ comes back. And he's not coming back until he is completely finished. When Moses finished the tabernacle, hung the gates up and finished it, the glory of God fell so that he couldn't stand up to minister, and neither could any of the priests. I'll tell you, saints, we are in for one of the most glorious visitations the world cannot even imagine, what it's going to be like when God begins to raise up these deliverers. Well, glory. Now, let me show you what was happening in that day. In the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis. And this is the first time the word Nephilim is mentioned. Verse 1.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair.
Now these sons of God was fallen angels, and the Bible plainly teaches now that angels do not marry. Well, the Bible tells you plain over in what chapter of Luke? Chapter? I forget now, but where he's talking about the woman, that had seven husbands, and in the resurrection, whose wife was she be? Huh? 34, 35. And he says that you and I would be as the angels that do not marry. Now, you're going to have to explain here. If these sons of God are fallen angels, then what are you going to do? When the Bible said angels do not marry, you have to give an example of what he's talking about. This was absolutely spirits of the angels. Wasn't literally angels, but spirits of the fallen angels incarnated in human flesh. And the flesh of a human, in the carnal state of their mind, they usually have just, now it's two things, it's sex and money. But you and I have got to understand that he called them sons of God. They were really spirits that God had created. He had cast them out, and those spirits incarnated in human beings. And so they married. Now, I have to break down this to let you know something happened. You won't hear this preached, and I don't know how many people that understand it, but I'm going to break it down for you. When they saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they took them wives of whom they chose. And then when they went into those women, and those women conceived, they brought forth Nephilim, That's another name for giant.
The Hebrew name, the giant.
It's in the reference there, if you would read it, if you have a Bible, would reference it. Now, have you ever saw a day that we have so many giants in the earth today? We have, Benny Hinn has become a giant. Oral Roberts has become a giant. I'm not saying that they're wrong now, but they're glorying in their lifted up personality. And a lot of preachers are trying to become giants. They're doing it by selling their books, trying to build their name up. But behind all of that that's going on, God's raising up some real, true deliverers. And it's not going to be by the multitude, because Noah preached 120 years and didn't have nobody saved but his family. And you get discouraged because you come to church and don't see many people. Do you think Noah ever got discouraged? Huh? Preaching 120 years, just getting his own family saved? But that's exactly what happened. When God raises up deliverers, He's not going to raise up the multitude to believe. You're going to have a battle because you are preaching something that's never happened before. You are preaching that it's going to rain. It never had rain before. Now, who's going to believe you? We're preaching the out resurrection instead of a rapture. Who's believing it? Well, if you want to insert anything in this life, feel free to do it. But we've got to understand, and Noah's mentioned in several of the books in the New Testament, so we know that he's connected with this message in this end time. And if God's raising up deliverers and telling them to do the impossible, something that never had been done, preaching something that never had happened, what do we get discouraged with? Now, when we began to realize, well, we just found about what, verse 2 or 3?
And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men.
Now, how many of you understand? When the Lord appeared to me when I was on a binge for 6 months, and muddy water running over me, I wasn't in church because I'd swore that I'd never go to church no more for the way they treated my mama. God, or Christ, appeared to me and said those words, My spirit's not going to always strive with man, for he is also a flesh. And I told him that night, if you can find room in your kingdom for a sot like me, I'm on your hands for eternity. And I meant it. I'm still on his hand. Whatever he wants to do with me, it's all right. And he's put me into some pretty hard places. But he's never failed me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he's allowed me to meet a lot of influential people that I am indebted to. Even now, most of them are gone. Most of them are dead. But some way, in some reason, I'm still hanging on. Well, praise the Lord. Now, God is raising up deliverers, and he always tells them to do the impossible. We're sitting in a miracle building here. Well, okay, read some more.
For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
Now, he's not promising 120 years for an individual to live. He is promising 120 jubilees. Now, if you'll figure that up, 120 times 50 is 6,000. We are right now just about 3 to 4 minutes over in this seventh day. But in that process, God's raising up deliverers. And he's telling them to do the impossible. And he promises a new heaven and a new earth. You ready? Now, how did he make the first earth and the first heaven? Yeah, but listen, the first time you use that word is the third verse, first chapter of Genesis. And God said, let there be light. Now, there's more to this, and if you hear what I'm going to tell you, I'm going to explain to you how you can catch the invisible. If you hear what I'm going to tell you. First of all, never question God. Never say, if it be thy will. You're supposed to know the will of God. Well, and if we know the will of God, now, over and over in the Bible, God tells you, especially in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 7-8, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now, if you can ever line your whole life up with the way God thinks, of the thoughts of God, then that thought can be manifest by a word. John 1, he said, and the Word was made flesh. Well, hallelujah. Now we've got the Father that is the thinker. You can't have a thought without a thinker. And God is the one that said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now, I understand that, and I'm sure you do too. Because you think carnally more than you do spiritually. But you've got to learn to bring your mind in under subjection that you can think like God thinks. A lot of folks don't believe that. Do you believe it? Come on, I'm asking you. Do you really believe you can think like God? The Bible says that whatsoever thing is lovely, think on them. You don't think lovely thoughts all the time. I've often wondered how the Apostle Paul felt going into these villages preaching to people that he had killed their husband or their wife or their children, and they sat there listening to him without any vindication or any vengeance whatsoever. It's almost impossible, don't you think? If somebody was to come in here tonight and begin to steal or shoot us because of what we are teaching, well, did you realize that that's going on in the earth today? And it's going on in church. Thank God it hasn't happened here, but it's happened all around us. Well, and the way I'm teaching this and showing you this, you may not want to be a builder. You may not want God to raise you up. It's not an easy task, I'll tell you that. It's a lonely life. It's a lonely life. Walking in this world with nobody believing what you say in the church. And once in a while you can find somebody that will say, hey man, I believe that, I practice in that. Well, thank the Lord. But tonight we've got what? 3, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 of us. And out of the 13, how many of us really believe that God is raising up deliverers today? I'm not talking about raising up Benny Hinn or Oral Roberts or some of these other great outstanding ministers. Thank God for them. I'm not against them. But do you think that they've had it easy all their life? No. William Branham, I've sat and talked with him many times. He sat and talked with me with tears running down his cheeks. He'd say, Brother Curry, or Brother Max, he said, people don't understand. My wife bought me a recliner that I could rest in when I got through preaching. And we got in a bad shape financially, and the furniture store come and repossessed that recliner. And he said, it just tore my heart out when they took that recliner out that front door. And then the Lord took my baby girl, and he said, that really did break my heart. But he didn't never put this in a book, not that I know of, but he said, had conversations with me and told me, I didn't understand why he was telling me this. Now, I understand. Because every deliverer God's ever raised up, he's told them to do the impossible thing. Some would believe and make success out of it, and others, under the pressure, would fall. I'm telling you, God, well, let's read on down. I want you to look at verse 7 and 8. Yeah.
There were giants in the earth in those days.
Now that was Nephilim. That's the first time they're mentioned.
And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they have children to them, the same become mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth.
How many of you understand that's the condition of the world today? Come on. All right, read some more now.
And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Never thinking nothing good, always thinking something that's evil.
And it repented the Lord that he had made man.
That's verse 7, ain't it?
Six. And it grieved him in his heart.
Now he's repenting over creating man. And we just in the sixth chapter. All right.
And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah,
that's the eighth verse now.
But Noah found grace.
But Noah found grace. The only individual that found grace was Noah. His sons didn't find grace. But Noah's grace saved his household. Well, that ought to make you shout. You can have enough of grace of God to save your household. They may be grumblers, they may be fault finders, and they may be all that, but yet your grace can bring them in. Hallelujah. Because God is raising up deliverers in this hour. Oh, I wish I could go in, but I can't. You know, I got to mention it, but I would love to be able to go in to the family relationship and to the head of the house relationship. And show you that if we're going to come in divine order, we're going to have our household set in order, we're going to have the church set in order, and we're going to have to begin to do what God says we are to do. There's very few households that's in order. And there's very few churches that practice in divine order. Well, we all claim we've got divine order. But I wonder how much divine order is really in operation. Okay. Read some more.
These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generation.
Amen.
And Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence.
The earth. He, when he uses the word the earth was corrupt and violent, he's simply telling you that all of creation was made from this earth is corrupt. So we only have one righteous man. And that one man, by his grace, is going to bring his whole household in. But it took 120 years for him to do that. In the meantime, he is having to work building that ark. And when you're working and building the ark, you're really building and completing Christ in the earth. Well, you cannot go into Christ until you have Christ completed. Now, I don't want to, but this one ark was three stories. A window in the top, a door in the side. Now, you'll never get all the nuggets out of that. Christ, the Bible said, he was the fullness of God manifest in the flesh. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That ark represents the Trinity. And that's what Jesus represented, the fullness. Well, hallelujah. And so there was a window in the top and a door in the side. That window was very important. The door in the side was very important because that's where the spear went into the side of Jesus and blood and water came out of him. And the church was birthed out of the side of Jesus, just like Eve come out of the side of Adam. And it's just one story all the way through the book,
right.
but we've got to understand that if we'll meet, and I took 4 Wednesday now to lay some of the priorities on what's going to be needed to raise up these deliverers. And now we're starting on these deliverers. And man, I'm telling you, you can go all the way through the Bible with different deliverers that God's raising up and what they had to go through with and what you and I are going to have to go through with. And don't think you are exempt from it because you are not. You're going to have to go through all of these persecutions. And we don't know what tomorrow may hold. But we know who holds tomorrow. That makes me shout, hallelujah. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know what the night's going to produce. And it doesn't matter. It just don't matter. God is going to see us through.
That's right.
Well, hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's read another verse or two.
And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me.
Now you ought to underline the end of all flesh. That means your flesh. You cannot please your flesh and please God. But how many of you understand we try? How many of you can agree we do try to please our flesh? Well, how many of you want to quit it? But we are under a command of God to bring the flesh to an end.
Amen.
Well, let's read a little more now.
For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood.
Now, he's telling him what kind of wood to make the ark out of. Now, that in itself is so very important. Gopher wood only grow in the desert. And if you trace back, God told Moses to go out into the desert and cut down the trees to build the ark or build a tabernacle, and the boards had to be 18 inches wide, and they had to come up so high, and then they set them boards on tekons, which means little hands made out of silver. They'd set them boards down in those hands. That's where the writer got the thought about invisible hands. You've heard the song, I'm sure. Have you? Well, if you haven't, why, you're missing something. We're held up by invisible hands. Hallelujah. And the hands are silver, and silver was the price of redemption. And because we are redeemed, we're being held up by these two hands. Well, and the devil cannot blow you over. The only way you can get lifted up out of that, somebody has to lift you up and store you in the right order, that when the tabernacle's set up again, well, hallelujah, you would be in the proper place that you could fit your place. Amen. in the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And that's exactly what God is interested in the now. But people want to be bigger and higher than they are, and they want to... I'd have to go into another thought, but they want to tell the preacher how to preach. Neighbor, I'm telling you, we've got a call on our heart that God has called us to be deliverers, and you're going to have to meet the requirements to be that deliverer. Well, praise God. All right, let's read some more. There's so much in this chapter.
Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is in the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits.
There's three arcs mentioned in the Bible. Can you name them?
Noah's Ark and the ark that carried Moses when he was a baby, and then the tabernacle of Moses.
And the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah. Three arcs. And I think Unger's is the only dictionary, Bible dictionary, that mentions all three of them. But Unger's is about the best one you can get anyway. And it mentions the tabernacle of David, the tabernacle of Moses. And these things are very important to a student of the Word of God.
Amen.
Because when God, when God wanted to change the order, how many of you understand what kind of ridicule and persecution went with that? They had followed the ark of Moses all the way through the wilderness, and then God told David to pitch a tent and put the Ark of the Covenant in that tent with no sides on it where everybody could see it. And nobody had ever done that. It was brand new. Well, it's the same thing today, but you're used to a certain diet and a certain type of ministry. And when the Lord begins to change, then you don't want to change because you know how many vitamins are in this wafer, the manna. You know everything about the manna, and God said, I'm going to cut it off. And you're going to have to eat the old corn of the land. And you don't find, I was raised on a farm, and we used to parch corn. You ever eat any parched corn? You got to have good teeth to eat it, but... But it's very good for you. Okay. But read on.
A window thou shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Wherein is the breath of life from under heaven?
Now, you hear about
the deep or the depths. You can mark this. I'll go over a chapter, chapter 7 and verse 11. And always remember 7 and 11. But that's one of the most powerful verses that's in the Bible.
And in the 600th year of Moses' life.
Now, in the 600th year of Moses' life,
in
that simply meant in the fulfillment of man.
In the second month.
The second month.
The 17th day of the month.
And the 17th day. Underline that, because 17 is the number of the abyss, the bottomless pit.
The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up.
Now, that simply meant he opened up the abyss. And then, thank God, he never opens up the abyss without opening up the windows of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, that ought to make you shout.
Amen.
Because he tells you in that same verse, after he opens up the abyss, he opens up the heavens.
Yeah. And the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
Now, 40 is the number of judgment.
Right.
All the way through the Bible. Now, I want to show you something. I wouldn't be able to cover all of this, but 17. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, there are 17 things mentioned that will never be able to separate you. So, let the devil rage. Let him do what he wants to do. And then he says, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Well, hallelujah. Then if you were to go back into the Psalms, I think it's 84th Psalm. There are 17 nations there. Seven of them's already been dealt with. 10 to go. I don't expect, and you don't expect me to break down all these nuggets that I'm giving you tonight, but we can take another teaching and teach you about the 17 or the abyss and how that God's already fixed it so it won't affect you.
Hallelujah.
It don't matter. God's already made arrangements that it ain't going to affect you. Now, in that 84th Psalm, I think it's the 84th Psalm. I'm not sure, because I'm just going as the Spirit directs me. I got no notes on this. But he tells you there in that Psalm. And that's the first time in the Word of God that the Hagarenes are mentioned. And I read that, and I was shocked, and I said, I've never heard of that. The Hagarenes? Hagar, I know, was Abraham had Ishmael by her. But I never did realize it was become a nation. Did you? Had you ever heard of that? The Hagarenes.
Psalms 83, verse 6.
Yeah. 83 and 6. Psalms. What did it say?
The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes.
And the Hagarenes. Now, Noah had to preach against the Edomites. He had to really get down to business to keep Shem and Japheth and Ham from going into the doctrines of the Edomites. The book of Obadiah covers all of this. But thank God, when it ends up, he said, saviors shall come upon Mount Zion. And it's in the plurality. More than one. Well, but Edom was always an enemy to Israel. Now, Israel Moab and Edom, and they got Jehoshaphat in there, king of Judah, and they had run out of water. And all the prophets was prophesying, go on, and you're going to take over, you're going to do this. And it's the same principle today. They want to hear a good word. And Jehoshaphat said, ain't there a prophet of God here? Well, he's one, but said, I don't like him. I hate him. He never tells nothing good about me. Jehoshaphat said, well, I want to hear him. So they bring Elisha up there. And Elisha looked at the king of Moab and the king of Edom. He said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look on you. And he asked for a musician to be brought. They brought a musician. And as they were playing, the Spirit of the Lord come upon Elisha. And he prophesied to me a very foolish prophecy, but yet it was of God. Fill this valley full of ditches. You mean a valley is not big enough to bring water in? What do you have to fill it full of ditches for? Well, one thing you've got to remember, God never does anything for you without demanding an effort. I guess I ought to say that again. God will never do anything for you without demanding an effort on your part. Follow the miracles that Jesus performed. What did he say? To the wounded hand, stretch it forth. An effort has to be put into practice. Well, God's just going to do it, and I ain't going to have nothing to do with it. You've got something to do. Well, let's go back to chapter 6 now and just read a few more verses. I'm not going to get through with this tonight, I guarantee you.
And the rain was upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of the sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark.
Mm-hmm.
Two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in.
Do you understand now? When we go, we got the ark finished. Christ has been built up. We go into the Christ, and we read that over in Matthew. They didn't understand. They were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until. Well, you remember reading it?
Right. Yes.
Until Noah entered into the ark. When you and I enter into the Christ in the fullness of it, hallelujah, he's going to close the door, seal us up, and the same thing that's going to bring judgment upon the whole earth is going to lift you and I up and bring us into safety. And it's the same water, it's the same judgment that's destroying everything, and yet it's lifting you up. There's a message in that. It doesn't matter what's taking place in the earth.
Right.
Don't get your eyes upon the calamities of this earth.
That's right.
Get your eyes upon him going to use that very principle and lift you up.
Amen.
Lift you above, hallelujah, the troubles and the death and the sorrow that's on this earth. You are floating. You are up above it. Well, hallelujah. And the ark landed after 150 days. Now that's a message. After 150 days, I could go into that, but I won't. Three times 50 is 150. When the Trinity becomes full, things gonna change. And when they change, you have to wait. Nobody wants to wait. So Noah opened the window and sent a raven out. A raven is an unclean bird. And a raven don't care what he lights on, what it's alive or dead. Some people don't care what kind of church they light in, as long as it's pleasing them. Then he sent out a dove. The dove couldn't find no rest for her feet, and she come back. 7 more days, sent out the dove again. This time he come back with an olive leaf in his mouth. Now, an olive leaf is a type of peace.
Amen.
And that dove lit upon Jesus' shoulder and remained on him. The only time the Holy Ghost ever remained on anybody was on Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, and that's typical because he was the beginning of a new order.
New order, new day.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And all of this is just loaded with nuggets.
Amen.
That you'll never get them all out. It is just impossible to put the spiritual emphasis upon everything that we are reading tonight. And yet, it's God's raising up a deliverer.
Amen.
Now, if you read on, you'll find where that he waited another period of time, and then he opened the door of the ark. Stepped out in a brand new world.
And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore.
Now, see, how many of you understand that when he lived upon the shoulder of Jesus, he remained in this earth that he might build up a Christ? And when that Christ is fully built, glory to God, a new order will take over. Well, it's the same story all the way through the Bible.
Amen.
Different aspects of it. We must learn to apply the Spirit into all of these different aspects that we can move in the realm of the Spirit at all times, regardless of the circumstance.
Amen.
Well, read on.
And it came to pass, let me make sure I got it right. And it came to pass in the 600th and first year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry.
Right.
And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, all of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and every whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went out of the ark. And Noah builded an ark unto the Lord.
An altar?
Altar, I'm sorry. The light's all dim. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more anything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and the day and night shall not cease.
Now, read on, chapter 7.
Okay, I've been reading in 7, Brother Curry.
Huh?
In 8. He's going to 9. You want to go to 9? Is that what you want?
Yeah.
And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all the movers from the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered.
Now, what a day this is going to be. We're going to be in control of everything. And that's what God's raising up right now. Deliverers that's going to be in charge of everything, regardless of your circumstance right now. You're still going to be in charge of the environment of your being. Oh. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to just unplug there, because if we go any further, I'll get into another aspect of this. And how many of you can see when God begins to raise up deliverers what a change that He has to work in them?
Amen.
Amen.
Huh?
That's right.
And how that you have to change your thinking. The Apostle Paul takes it in the 6th chapter, first or 2nd Corinthians, and he said, enlarge yourself. I think that's verse chapter 6, verse, I don't remember now. But he said, my mouth is open. And then he said, enlarge yourself, for you're not straightened within us, but you're straightened within yourself. You're limited in yourself. Enlarge your thinking. Quit thinking in penny ante and raise up your thinking to a higher level in God. And you'll see what God will do for you. Well, glory. 6:13, 2 Corinthians.
6:13.
Yeah.
Now for the recompense of the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged.
Be ye enlarged. God wants you to be enlarged. He wants you to enlarge your thinking. Well, enlarge your vision, and I believe when you do that, you will see a great change in everything. Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What do you think, Lamar?
Amen. That's right on, Brother Sir. I believe that, you know, God raised up a generation.
Right.
And I believe that, you know, we're in that generation.
Amen.
Just like with Noah, you know, we've all got to overcome before you can ever be delivered. You know,
right.
Noah had to overcome all the talk and the discouragement and the frustration, just like everyone.
The ridicule,
and spending all that time building the ark, and you know, people thinking you're crazy. You know, you just you're out there. You know, so, yeah, I mean, we're right in that same boat. Right in the same boat. It's right on. But
we've got to overcome it. We've got to overcome that before any of us can be any kind of deliverance.
So.
Well, amen. Bob, what do you say?
You know, I'm just standing amazed the more we learn about this book, of that how much that Christ was preached.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Christ is preached all the way through, and I believe we've got to come in to full unity of the Spirit of God to be able to come and be these deliverers, and to come into that unity of the Spirit.